Hello, humans, and welcome back to another episode of Sparks Conversation. Hope you're having a good day, love. Good day, a good life, wherever you are in this world, and the weather is treating you well. So nonetheless, let's get stuck into the topic of this exercise. So, having come from like a very bodybuilding-based background where pretty much I never did cardio, I had no interest in cardio, running, cycling, or anything along that matter, my transition over the last year and a bit has definitely kind of sparked some interest and some questions from clients, potential clients, from just my followers around how I kind of decided to transition from purely bodybuilding and having no real interest or kind of affinity with running to actually be able to run pretty well and develop my running quite considerably over the past year. So this is all kind of very generic information, and I think like it's very important. And I think the main thing we need to be thinking about is like just starting off with understanding that it's not going to happen overnight. Just like when you walked into the gym, you didn't try and deadlift 100 or bench press 100 straight away. You started with the bar, you put a 5 on each side, you worked your way up. You really need to approach that more so with running, especially if you're a heavier person, which normally if you've been in the gym bodybuilding for a while, you're probably carrying a little bit more mass than most people, especially upper body, probably in your legs as well. So you just need to go into an expectation that it's probably going to take much longer than you think. There's going to be some trials and tribulations along the way, because let me tell you, it is not all smooth sailing. You're going to get injured, you're going to feel frustrated, you're going to feel like an absolute idiot most of the time, because remember, like, you're stepping into a discourse or a domain where you really don't have a clue, and your body doesn't have a clue. It's literally so undertrained in this area where, and what you'll find is that like running and cardio and endurance based stuff is actually very taxing on the body compared to bodybuilding. Like, you think bodybuilding is hard? Try and run a marathon. Do you know what I mean? Like, try and run an ultra marathon. Like, these guys and girls are absolute beasts. And of course, it is just a different kind of approach to fitness, and it is just a different demand. But again, like, I would much take two sets of balls to the wall hack squat compared to like running a 5k PB. Like, there is no pain like your lungs just wanting to rip out of your body. But now that I've tried to put you off, this is how I would approach transitioning from purely never running to starting to run. Okay, so first of all, I would go in with like a very low barrier to the amount of running you're going to do per week. Everyone goes in with this thought that they should be able to just run 5 and 10Ks. Like, bro and broettes, like, that's not the case. So please just go in, and I say to a lot of my guys and girls, like, start at 6 kilometers per week. Split that up into 2-3 kilometer runs, one on a treadmill maybe, one outside, and just try and get through those runs without stopping. And I think like what too many people do is they shoot out the gate with such high running volume that they just break themselves. Like, if you're doing 15 kilometers in your first week having never run, yeah, you might feel great and buzzing that you're trying to do something new, but you're just shooting yourself in the foot, because 2 weeks later you will be injured and you will be in an absolute fatigue pit, and you'll drop off from running, your body will give up, you get shin splints, you'll pull a muscle. It's not as simple as that. So from there, I'd only be then increasing like 10% of running volume per week. And I know that sits on the low end. So for most people, I kind of round that up to like 1 kilometer extra per week until we meet a threshold where, if they truly are trying to balance their running and their gym work, you're going to hit a ceiling more so than if you were just doing running. So professional runners' ceiling for the amount of kilometers they'll do per week is a much higher than someone who's trying to balance pure gym bodybuilding style workouts and running as well. So my personal ceiling is around that 30 kilometer mark per week. And I split those up into kind of slower runs, which I'll talk more in a second, and more interval based runs. So straight out the bat, like, I think you should be doing a lot of low intensity running. So all of your running should be done in a thing called zone 2. You shouldn't really be worrying about interval training just yet. That will come later down the line. Because you've got to remember, you need to build your base of fitness. Coming from purely bodybuilding, you will have zero base of cardiovascular fitness unless you've been very kind of savvy with your implementation of cardio across your training phases. So you need to actually build up some form of base that is going to be able to mean that you are able to do the work that you need to do. So a lot of what you do at the start is just building your ability to actually be able to run, not only from like a muscular standpoint, but from like a cardiovascular standpoint. Like, going out and running 5K, you don't want your heart rate to be 190. Probably, or in like an RPE 10 all of the time. Like, we need to be able to build that up. So like I said in my example, like 6 kilometers a week, 3 kilometer runs, maybe 25 minutes on each run, that's 50 minutes of volume per week. And what you'll find is, if you build that up over a 2 week period and do the same thing, you'll find that your fitness improves, and then you'll be able to then put in maybe another kilometer to those runs, and so on and so forth. They do say like a lot of your work should be done in zone two, which basically means where it's a heart rate zone based on your kind of maximum heart rate. So if you just type in zone two calculator on Google, you'll be able to work that out for yourself. And basically this is the zone where you can kind of keep going for a long time, and it's going to bring tons of kind of rewards to your cardiovascular system, and it's not going to give you tons of fatigue. Whereas if you're going into zones threes, fours and fives, you're going into zones that are going to actually demand much more recovery. And normally I would only put those zones in at a later date once you've built up that level of fitness and conditioning to running. So I would say after 4 to 6 weeks, I'd probably start moving into different zones, but then still a majority of your work will still need to be in zone two. When you finally get to that point, you might want to put in some interval sessions just to see if you can improve your kind of top end speed. But again, I find that the higher intensity running is the thing that causes most people injuries if you are a heavier person, okay? Next one is something that I think everyone should just be a little bit clued up on, is technique. So most people think they can run, like, well, but you've never run. Like, you like think how long it's taken you to hone your deadlift craft, think how long it's taken you to work out how to overhead press and lateral raise really well. Exactly the same, that time needs to be put into the craft for you to develop the technique of your running. It doesn't just happen overnight. So there's tons of information on YouTube, and as a bigger guy, so I run at around 101 kilograms, which is pretty heavy for me. Well, it's not heavy for me, but that's pretty heavy for running. I'd be thinking like, right, can you be running on the balls of your foot? Can you work on your gait? Can you think about cadence whilst you're running? And of course, this is a rabbit hole that you could get fully lost in. And is it the best rabbit hole to get stuck in? No. But if you just have some conscious thought on, I want to be thinking about my technique whilst I'm running, when you're building up your cardiovascular fitness in those zone two runs, you're going to find that your technique gradually develops. And if you start with good technique, you're much less likely to develop injuries than if you start with shit technique and then try and fix it along the way. Because every time you're running, you're ingraining a habit. So for example, myself, I was very heel dominated when I ran. So I literally used to get heel kind of pains all the way back at the back of my legs during lockdown when I tried to do running. And I realized that I needed to do something if I was actually gonna be able to put some mileage down. So I kind of looked at kind of running techniques, and the general consensus is that you kind of need to be falling forward. So leaning forward, you need to be landing on the balls of your feet underneath your body. So you don't really want to be landing with your feet in front of your body, and then you push backwards with the ground into the ground whilst your feet is underneath you, and you propel yourself forward. So yeah, the main thing is, like, when you first start this, you're going to feel like you're doing ballet and you're running on your tippy toes, but you will be able to kind of develop it, and it will help a lot over time, and it won't just go through your bones and develop shin splints. Because I think that's the biggest thing that most people struggle from is shin splints, is because they're just taking all of that kind of strain through their bones and through their, like, Achilles. Next one is obviously recovery. So this ties into, like, the total amount of mileage that you're going to need per week and the amount of food that you're going to eat. You need to be sleeping like a baby. You need to be eating a good amount of food, and you need to be making sure that you do have rest days and recover either side of it. Most of the time, people want to go out the gate really strong, and they just want to be like, right, I'm a hybrid now, I'm going to do everything I can to be the fastest version of myself ever. Yeah, that's great, but you need to hold on to that thought and just sit with the fact that you're going to be shit for a bit, like I said, and just face the fact that after your first run or your first 5K, you're probably going to be in the gutters for like a day or two. Parts of your body are going to hurt more than you've ever thought they could. Your calves, your legs, all of that stuff are going to really be burning. So you need to be recovering. And this might mean that your lower body training in the gym takes a bit of a hit, and you actually kind of pull down your intensity a little bit. And I know I did this at the start, and I've been able to build my intensity up, back up again, but at the start I had to pull my intensity and my volume down in my weight sessions because I couldn't hit it like I used to if I was going to try and build my kind of fitness and manage my recovery within my running. So sleep and recovery is massive. The next one is food. So obviously, like, if you are starting running, you're adding like a decent amount of calories burned into your week. So if you're trying to maintain or gain weight, you need to be thinking, right, can I replace those calories, or if not, just eat enough. So I try and eat back 60 to 70% of the calories I burn from cardio, whilst managing around 3,800 calories per day based on my body mass. I know that that's kind of very intuitive to me, and I try my best to hit that. I don't always hit it, but some days I will, some days I won't. But make sure your food is in there. Carbohydrates around the workout window. window so that you are fueled for your sessions. Think about kind of, obviously, fruits, vegetables are always going to be the best bang for your buck. And of course, like, you are going to be eating more now, so you will have to lean towards different types of carbohydrates, like pastas and breads potentially, with the kind of general assumption that your stomach and your digestion can handle that. Personally, mine doesn't like it that much, so I rely a lot on rice. But my food has definitely gone up since I've been doing this kind of hybrid nonsense, some might call it. But I have been able to maintain a much leaner look for like 101 kilograms. Like, I've got a decent six pack. So I know that when I do start to kind of restrict calories potentially, and it will only take a little bit of restriction, I know I'll really dial it in. The next one is equipment. And again, this is an absolute rabbit hole. Like, you see people on Instagram, TikTok, like with their Nuvu running kit. Like, you don't need that straight out of the bat. Do you know what I mean? Like, the one thing I said you think you need to invest in is a good pair of cushioned running shoes based on your gait. So go to any running store and they'll be able to video your feet, and they'll tell you whether you pronate or supinate or you internally rotate and all of that good stuff. They'll be able to match your foot with a shoe. And I would always go at the start with a more cushioned shoe, because like I said, while you're trying to work out this technique, you don't want a shoe that's like maybe carbon plated or has very limited support, because what that's going to do, it's going to really exaggerate the impact, or really just kind of not mask the impact of the running. This goes both ways. So you can get some shoes that are just so cushioned that you can just get away with anything. And I think on the side of caution, it's probably better to go for those. So I have used Cloud Monsters. They were my first kind of proper running shoe. Before that, I used Brooks and just Nike Pegasus, but the Cloud Monsters really were like a game changer for me. I then changed from them to a normal everyday running shoe, and it did incur kind of some issues for me. So I did get a stress fracture in my foot. I don't know if that was because of just general overuse, but I have noticed that my body has hurt more since kind of getting that different shoe. So I will be going back to a more padded shoe for sure, especially now that I'm getting heavier and putting on weight. I've only recently, after a year and a half, got my first pair of carbon shoes, and obviously they are a game changer if you are looking to really level up your running. But this podcast is more about kind of transitioning to running. So I'd stay way away from them for a while. And they're very tempting. They look good. Everyone wants them. They're bright. They're big. They're chunky. They are fast. And there's no denying that. But what they don't give you is much support. So if you try and bend the sole of a carbon shoe, it's literally like a piece of bamboo. It doesn't want to bend. So basically what they're designed to do is propel you forward during your running, whereas a cushion shoe is there to take the shock and your body do the work. So there's my two cents on how to transition into running. Like, I know a lot of my guys and girls are doing that this January, so this podcast is for you. Again, if you are new around here, I appreciate you to follow along and like the kind of podcast. Leave me a review if you get a spare minute. And if you'd ever wanted to share it on your story, it would really help the podcast grow. So if you have any things that you want me to discuss over the next few weeks, give me a shout. But other than that, have a great day, great life, wherever you are, and I'll speak to you soon.